The God of Second Chances. So we're going to get into chapter 2. So open your Bibles, if they're not open already, to Jonah chapter 2. So Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah, remember, he's inside the belly of the whale. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. And you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows, your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I wanted to read the whole chapter recap because we're going to go through it a little bit. So in chapter 2, Jonah's reflecting back on his three-day stay inside the belly of this great fish, and on God's mercy, love, and compassion towards him. And you guys know the story. Will he understand this time what God's trying to show him about his own lack of mercy, love, and compassion in his heart towards those he considers unworthy of God's goodness? Now remember that this is a guy who knew the Lord, and at times we can be that way at the same time. It's difficult because if we don't watch that man, the flesh that wants to rise up, we can become religious and believe that there is no grace and mercy towards people who are out of the body, but yet we forget that we were once out of the body. And that's what Jonah was looking at. So he's taking some time to look. So in the verse 1, it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Now here the narrator is telling us, remember, we don't know if it was Jonah. We don't know who wrote the book, that he prayed. That's the first thing he did. He could have prayed, and this is interesting, on the boat and saved themselves, what, 3 days of torment. But Jonah needed some humbling, a good old-fashioned spanking. We're going to talk about spankings a little bit later. So in verse 2, it says, or Jonah says, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. So he cries from his heart. Remember, he's not crying out from his mouth. He's crying out from that deep place within inside of hellish suffering. And imagine being in that place, a slimy stomach, hour after hour, day after day, in darkness, and you're carried helplessly. You don't know where. There's no escape for you. You're in a prison. You're only hoping for death. And it's not going to be a good death. But yet in this darkness, there was hope. Jonah was swallowed by the whale to be saved. And you have to remember what was going on in chapter 1. Jonah was running from the Lord. What happens when you run from the Lord? What happens? Someone can answer this, right? Who's been through that where they run from the Lord? You're gonna fall. You don't get closer. You fall away from Christ. You fall away and you stop hearing them. He was going to Nineveh, the furthest he can get from God. But God, in his mercy, grace, and love, did one of those things to him for his own sake, right? So what looked like the end for him was a lesson. The prophet who ran to avoid doing the will of God for his own will, what? Got a second chance, and more than a second chance. God was dealing with him in his dark place. And that goes to us if you're in a dark place. If you were in a dark place, if you ever were, or if you think you're going to be, you have to remember that because there is hope in a dark place, because we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that example here. So, of course, if you are in that place, there is hope. There's no need to stay there. There's no need to continue to think, even if you know someone who's in that place, that it's an end, because there's a second chance, more than a second chance. So Jonah cried out for help inside of his soul, and God heard and answered him with grace and compassion. And Psalms, thank you. Psalm 34 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Amen. Now you look at this and you're like, okay, Jonah, wait a second. He is troubled. He has a lot of troubles. He was in a whale. Broken heart, I would say so. Crushed in spirit and probably in body as well. All those three things apply to him. But how is he righteous? How is this guy righteous who ran away from the Lord? Well, you have to remember that the righteousness comes from Christ. We are saved by grace. It's his righteousness that makes us righteous. God seeing Christ in us. So he was able to cry out even in his rebellion, even in that place where he's not righteous, to be heard by God. And that's what he's reflecting on. So even us, if we're in a place of sin at this time and we can't go to God, we are to cry out as well. You know, sometimes it takes you a couple days. You feel bad. You're like, oh, God, I can't. I do that so much. Thank the Lord I don't do it anymore. But I would do something wrong. I just stand there. Lord, I'll give him a couple days because he's angry. You know, no. God is perfect in all his ways. So his grace, his love and mercy is perfect and there for us all the time. So we should cry out as well. No matter where we are and what we've done, we cry out to the one who saves. So verse 3 goes on and he says, "For you have cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me." So here in this portion, Jonah reflects on his spanking, his deep, deep, bad spanking. Who's been whipped before? Don't be shy. Amen. Good, I'm not alone. And at that time, those whippings are not good. I mean, man, I remember when I got whipped. He hit me so hard across my head, he took my hair and said, "I'm going to leave it off for a lesson so you'll never forget." I'm kidding. No, the Lord is merciful even in that. But when I am glorified, it'll be back. It'll probably be glowing and gold and beautiful. But Proverbs 3 says, there we go. "Do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights." Now, that statement's beautiful. It doesn't seem that way in the beginning, but the beginning says, "Do not despise the Lord's discipline." Instruction. So go do this, don't do that, do whatever I tell you. I can't believe I have to do this. Why me, Lord? Why do I have to do these things? And you heard a little of my language. That's how it is. It's like, I don't want to do it. Oh, I can't believe you want me to do this or have called me to this. And if you do, is what he's saying, what comes next? Don't load his discipline. If you're not going to listen to his instructions, what is he going to do? That loud slap, right? And the Lord's spanking is so much more better than ours, because like David said, "Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, not into men," because he knew the grace of God. So we have to remember that the discipline of God is a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for setting me straight, because we can easily go off of the road. We're looking at one man who did, just because he didn't want to follow the Lord's instructions. And I shared with you the first Wednesday that was me. That's why I'm up here, because the Lord's like, "You're going to go up there." "I don't want to do it, Lord. I want to do things the way I want to do it. I know you called me to be a preacher, but can I just preach out there? Can I just go out there and give turn or burn messages?" Which I wouldn't do. I'm just messing around. But that's how it is. So when God gives you an instruction, do it so you won't have to load or don't load his discipline. We don't want to get to that point. But if it is, thank you, Lord. Thank you for setting me straight, because I know you love me. And it happens. I'll give you a story like my children. We were watching TV, and they didn't change the channel. So I was like, I love you, son. This is for your own good. No, I'm kidding. If someone thinks that way or is doing that, I will pencil you in for a counseling with Pastor Tim. Because you're looking at the scriptures the wrong way. So if we do fall into that, we thank the Lord for correcting us because his love is so great that he will allow us to be swallowed by a great fish to stop us from going so far away that we won't hear his voice anymore. And we become the people who supposedly were saying, I don't want to be this way. I want to show grace and mercy or stay away from. So verse 4 goes on and he says, then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. So in his discipline, he's saying, you cast me out of your sight, Lord. He gave him a spanking. It's like God saying, go to your room. I don't want to see you until I'm better, until you've apologized. And that's how it can be. That's how you can feel. If you've ever been disciplined by your family and you go to your room, what do? You wait there. But you look toward the temple of God because you still have hope. And you're looking at the door and thinking, man, I can't wait to see if the feet go across, if the door is turning, because you can feel forgotten there. And this is what he was feeling like, because that's what sin does. It makes you believe God is something that he's not. You feel forgotten, but you're not. If you were, you wouldn't have got that spanking. That was a blessing. Because we tend to look at things differently because we're in sin. We're fallen. So here, that's what he's talking about. He's looking at that and he's hoping God's going to come and get him. So he goes on to verse 5 and say, the waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. That would give you a good visual of what's happening to him right now. Weeds around his head. He's in the stomach. Basically saying that this fish had something in there. And when you get swallowed, of course there's going to be stuff in there. But I want to take a second and try to answer the question, what was this great fish? What was it? Was it a whale? Was it a shark? It could have been either, or like the Bible says, a fish specially prepared, says, by the Lord for this purpose. Now, I don't know how this fish was prepared before time. I don't know if he was on a special diet, whatnot. Don't do this fish, do this, don't do that. Who knows? Eat some extra, animals or seaweed. We don't know. But the Hebrew and the Greek word basically just mean a great aquatic animal. So it could have been a killer whale, a sperm whale, or a humpback whale. They're all huge in there. And it could have been a really large shark. Regardless of the teeth, if any animal is prepared by God, he's going to say, if it was a shark, don't chew on him. Just open your mouth, let him go down your stomach. That's pretty prepared. Or he would have said, all right, you're not going to grow teeth. I'm going to put something in your DNA where you're not going to have any teeth. But yeah. But that's why you see a whale usually, because it would fit in, a man would be able to fit in there. So with that, he goes on to verse 6 and he says, I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. So this is interesting because when you read that, he's basically saying, you brought my life up from the pit, from death. The pit is seen as he's dead. His soul was fainting. That's it. He's going. He's gone away. But he said he remembered the Lord. What did he remember of the Lord? He remembered that God is merciful. So maybe there's more than hate that drove him into the water. Remember we talked about that in the first chapter. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he was like, whatever, I don't want to do that. But Jonah, like the rest of us, possibly projected his lack of forgiveness towards God. We have a tendency to do that. We relate God in our finite minds to us. But the Bible says his ways are so different than ours are. So if he had that in him, he's like, I'm going to jump over the boat. I don't have to preach. God's going to kill me. I'm going to die because he's angry at me, and rightfully so. And remember, he was depressed. Let me go in there and die. Doesn't matter. It's fine with me. I'm going to die. But he remembered inside the fish, and he thought probably he was just going to go drown and it was done. Imagine being swallowed, and there goes what you thought was basically a quick death into a three-day journey of torment, in essence. So he remembered God is merciful. And if you know, everyone knows the story of Jonah. You know later on when we get to that chapter, he says that. So I want to also look at some other things. How did Jonah survive? Because there's many debates about how he did. Scholars debate this back and forth. What are the possibilities? And there's three possibilities on how Jonah survived or didn't survive in there. The first one is the natural, in the natural order of things. The phrase 3 days and three nights in ancient Hebrew could mean a half a day, maybe 38 hours in total. So it's possible because inside the stomach, there was the seaweed, like we talked about, and some air, and the digestive fluids were concentrating more on the seaweed than on the flesh itself, because it will always, your stomach will always digest what's easier first than meat. So that's one probable thing. He was able to stay in there until the journey was over. The second one is the miraculous, and this one is more likely. Remember that the Bible said it was a great fish that was prepared and sent by God. The other miraculous thing that was in there was the storm. Storm came out of nowhere. His pagan shipmates were like, what is going on here? What did you do, in essence? They knew something was wrong. As soon as he got out, it stopped. So that's the miraculous right there, miracles. And the last one is the resurrection. This is the third possibility. Jonah actually suffocated, and that's what I see in this scripture because of Sheol, the pit, and all the other things he says in there. And the great fish, he was in there, he died, but later on the Lord brought him back. And there's examples besides Christ raising up, I forgot that guy's name, his daughter. Well, Lazarus as well, and then Elisha raising up the widow's child. So what I see here is all three, because we have the natural, which is time, space, and matter. Jonah was in a time frame. He was in space of a belly. And, of course, the matter is the fish in him, working together with the supernatural law. But for God, remember, finite. For God, it's all natural. No hormones. I couldn't help it. Okay, go ahead. It's all natural. There is no natural and supernatural law for him because he's like, it's me. This is all natural for me to do. So it's all three of these together, but our finite mind has to separate things from the natural and supernatural in order for it to make sense to us. So in verse 8, he also says, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. So what is he saying here? He's basically saying, you put your trust in an image made by man, forget hope. Forget about crying out for mercy because you are going to suffer, die, and nothing's going to happen to you. Even though Jonah knew this, it's an amazing thing when Christ does something in your life, pulls you out of a pit, or shows you something. You know he's there, but that little thing makes you elevate him and glorify him even more. And that's a good thing. But here he says there is no hope for people who don't have Christ. You believe in a false god because you're praying to nothing and you're not going to get delivered. That is what happens to so many people in this world who put their faith in false idols. The god of self is the most prevalent one. It took over all the other gods. And they put their faith in themselves. And they're dying out there. That's why the Lord gave us the great commission to go and preach the gospel. Because they are dying. And that's why you have a rampant depression in all types of areas. It's just overflowing. Because people have lost hope. In them they know, I'm going to trust in this, but it's failed me. And we all know, who has a relationship with God, he's always there. And he shows you so many ways how he takes you out of things. So that's why he's able to say, like we are, those who put their hope in anything other than the one true God, they're wasting their time and they're going to die. So, verse 9, he goes on to say, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And he just restates that in a different way. So right here he says he's going to sacrifice and pay what he vows. Of course, he's bringing a sacrifice of sin offering, and then he's also going to do a peace offering here. And he also says, in so many words, I'm going to do what you want me to do, Lord. Man, you're fantastic. You are a great God, and I love the mercy that you've given me. So he's going to do what he said. And sometimes a spanking does that. I hope it always does that to us. It should do that to us. So verse 10, he says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now here's another interesting thing about what he says there. He vomited Jonah onto dry land. And have you ever seen whales beach themselves? They beach themselves and die. This whale was prepared by God. The Bible says here he vomited him onto dry land. In order for him to be on dry land, which is higher up on the seashore, it may be a little wet, but it's further up, a whale would have to beach himself. And this is my looking at this. And the whale sacrificed himself for Jonah. Now I'm implying this because, you know, there's always some type of sacrifice for some type of sin. But here's the whale who was specially prepared, throwing himself up, and here he is doing the gagging and stuff, and Jonah comes out. Because the vomit has to come from him being there. And once he's out of there, he's doing that and dying, and here comes Jonah. So you've seen these whales beach each other. Have you ever thought, oh, that's interesting? They do that. The Bible says he's on dry land, so there must be a correlation there. So that is, and I know this is really quick. I've been through this fast, but that's all right. There's two more chapters to go, and there's going to be a lot in those ones. Here you see what Jonah's doing. Jonah cried out for help to God. He did, and God heard him. Mercifully, God answered his prayer and delivered him from what? The belly of the fish, from his hell, from his destruction, from his running away, from his disobedience. And that goes to us if we're in that place, regardless of our disobedience and the fact that we will reap what we sow. There's God's law of causality. God is really what? To hear our prayers. And if you've ever been there, you know that's true. You know there's a cause to the whatever you're doing. You know if you've done something, you pay for it. I know I've been through that thing. God was there. He heard my prayers. But again, I reaped what I sowed. Again, he may not always deliver us, and that's true, because sin, what we reap, we sow. But he responds with his mercy and grace. So when you look at this chapter here, it can be summed up with the first and the last verse. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Jonah prayed, and the Lord heard and had mercy on him. And that's something for us to remember, because we, as Christians, we're not perfect. We can say these things to ourselves, believe it, say them to others, but when it comes to us, we're the most difficult. We, on ourselves. No, God can't forgive me, or no, I don't want to cry out to him, or this thing is too bad. Whatever it is, God will. And I know if I can actually be here if you want for an hour and go through my life if you think this is too early, and I'll tell you everything God has forgiven me, but I won't. That, and you're welcome. That says it right there. Jonah prayed, the Lord heard him. Jonah, who was a picture of rebellious man, dead in sin, yet brought back to life by God's grace. Jesus, the perfect man without sin, obedient unto death, having the power over death because he is God, raised himself to life so that we may have eternal life. And that is the key to every verse and scripture in the Bible. Christ, our Redeemer. We look to him for everything, for salvation, for deliverance, for joy, for peace. Even in this short text right here, in the darkness, he remembered God is merciful in all of our times. And even if we're not going through nothing, take advantage of God's mercy. That's the one thing you can do. God's there saying, come on, I want to hear what you say. And I do that a lot, and I'm going to continue to do it more and more, because it's good for me and it's good for you to take advantage of everything God has for you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for your goodness in our lives, for showing us through this chapter that even in the dark places where there is no hope, You are the light of the world. You are the hope for us, and not only us, for the other people out there who don't know you. Continue to remind us of your goodness in our lives. Holy Spirit, remind us that even in the dark places, we can cry out to you, not because your fist is shaking at us, but it's open to receive us with love and mercy and tenderness, that you rejoice when we come to you and confess what we've done. And you're ready to set us straight. That is so beautiful, Father. Help us to have that heart for the lost as well. Help us again, Lord Father, not to just look at this, not to be like Jonah. If there is a part of that in our lives, Father, just speak to our hearts and bring us to the place where we can cry out to you if we have difficulties. I thank you for your goodness in our lives, and I thank you for your mercy and grace. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, and I'll see you Sunday. I got to look at him when I see my mind. What does he say?